Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
And this morning, I just start with preaching the word, and then we'll have some ministry time afterwards. But in Mark's gospel, we'll start in Mark chapter 1. I want to speak about the presence and the power of Jesus. The presence and the power of Jesus. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus said, "The time has come." That's not a bad statement. The time has come. It's now. It's not the old season, it's now. It's this time that Jesus was heralding in a new time. And he said, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." When Jesus came, we know he was born of Mary, born of the Spirit, that he was actually the Son of God in the flesh, in a human body. And after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he came preaching. He didn't do anything. Even though he was the Son of God, he did nothing until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. When he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he came with a message, and he said, "The time is come. It's now. The kingdom of God is at hand." And essentially what Jesus was saying is that I am here now, and with me comes my rule or my domain. So the king comes with his rule or his ability to bring a different kingdom into the earth. Until Jesus came, every human being was under the power of Satan and sin, locked, bound, and destined for eternal separation from God. Jesus came and said, "It's a new time." And it's a time of the presence of the King and of the power of the King. So we see these two aspects of Jesus. He didn't just come and say, "I am here." But he said, "I'm here to bring my rule, my reign." And his dominion, his rule was expressed, his government was expressed in his nature, his character. He is love. He is the truth. But he is also full of compassion for every human situation. He healed, delivered those tormented from the evil one, from demons. And his domain, people came under his influence, under his domain. And so the kingdom of heaven comes with the king. With the presence of God comes his rule. In fact, Jesus, you remember it was prophesied in Isaiah 9, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Essentially, because man fell into sin, man without Jesus is essentially a rebel. Before I accepted Jesus, I was a rebel. You may not have thought of yourself in those terms, but actually we had all gone our own way and all done our own thing. But once I accepted and acknowledged Jesus Christ through repentance and faith, I responded to Jesus, to his presence and his kingdom. You see, man needs to respond to the presence and power of God. Jesus didn't say, "I've come here and that's it." He said, "Whoever repents and believes can enter into my kingdom and receive eternal life through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus." And so God is looking for the increase of his government through people repenting and believing in Jesus. Turning away from their own way and going God's way. That's why it's so important we understand that salvation isn't just a ticket to heaven. To actually declare that Jesus Christ is Lord means we now have a king who is Lord over our lives. And we come under his government, and that means the increase of his rule and peace. Because with his government comes peace. There will be no end. But I think it's so important we see that Jesus came with a message. He came with his presence and power. But all who repented and believed came into that power. So it's for us to respond to his presence and power. Not just for God to do something. Man, God requires man to respond to what Jesus has done through repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is a change. It's a turnaround. It's a great word. It's one of those words that many people think are negative because they say, well, I've failed and I need to repent, ask forgiveness, which is true. But it's a very positive thing to turn to Jesus and to change the way you think about his presence and his rule in your life. So 50% of our response to Jesus is repentance. And 50% is faith. He puts the priority on the two things for us to follow him and enter in to his government and rule. Now, if you and I today are going to respond to Jesus' presence and power here this morning, those two things need to happen. We need to change the way we think about who is actually here. And we need to respond to him with faith. Not just be informed. Jesus didn't come with just information. He came for a response. And the Christian life will never work for you or for me if we don't respond on the conditions of repentance and faith to Jesus in an ongoing way. This is not just to get saved, but it's to live the Christian life. You know, in the world there is a saying, and the saying goes, seeing is believing. And that's how we used to live before we became a Christian. We used to require evidence before we would believe. But now we belong to Jesus and we are in his kingdom. We have been given a new heart. And our new heart actually has eyes. See, God's given you a new heart and a new person on the inside, which is your spirit or your heart. And your spirit now has been made alive to God. And you, through the eyes of your heart, can see Jesus. And with the ears in your inner man, you can hear his voice. And so now, what is true for us is believing is seeing. We believe to see. We no longer just have to see to believe. And so God has reversed the way we live. He's turned life upside down by saying, I'm putting faith first. To believe first before you see. You see, people who heard the message, not everyone, came into the kingdom when Jesus was on earth. Now, we might find that incredible. But they saw the signs and the wonders, and many people just sat in judgment of Jesus and said, with a critical intellect, well, I don't believe and I don't want to believe. And there were many who experienced miracles, but I don't read in the scripture that all people actually followed Jesus even after they'd experienced a miracle. And in order to follow Jesus, we must make him Lord of our lives and actually live by faith. Which means we see what the word of God says is true with our spiritual eyes. And we act on that truth before we ever see it. We're a people who live by faith. Therefore, we are acting on God's word. And first, we do that. Secondly, we see the results. So, for example, the example of the kidney being healed this morning, we believe it before we see it. We've had all the encouragement from the Holy Spirit. We've had the Word and the Spirit agree today about this one miracle of this woman I don't know. But we know we've received it because we believe it before we see it. And so we stand and say, thank you, God, for healing this woman's kidney. So we live by faith that sees things before it happens. Hebrews 11:6, let's look at that scripture. Hebrews 11:6. You see, if we only are informed about a kidney being healed and not believing it ourselves, there's no power released. It doesn't matter how many visions you receive from the Holy Spirit in prayer. It's only when you believe them that the power of the Spirit is released. This is good. And I pray, Lord, you'll open our eyes to see the spirit realm this morning. Because the reality of the spirit realm acting on truth is more powerful than any problem you might be facing. And when we don't just see it, but we act on it, we believe it, then we will see the power. In Hebrews 11:6, the word says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently or earnestly seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God counts faith as the only way we can please him. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So to please God, you've got to be sure about what you haven't seen yet. To live by faith, you need to be acting on the truth of what Jesus has done before you ever see it. And that pleases God. And actually, faith gets rewards. You know what a reward system is? Sainsbury's does it. Asda do it. You buy a little kind of card, you know, your Nectar cards, and you get a reward system. And you kind of score up points so that you can have some free stuff, which you think is free, at Christmas. It's a way of getting people to stay, you know, loyal to the company. Now, Jesus is not a company, but this is how Jesus works. He works by faith. And faith has rewards. He says, if you act on my word, the reward will be you will get what you're believing for. If you simply act on what I say and what my ability is able to do, you then will come into the power of my life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoever comes to God must believe that he is. Now, I always think that's strange that the scripture writes it, that he is. And to actually say that somebody is, it means they're alive here and now. If we start to talk about what God was, we're not in faith. Faith is current. Faith is a now thing. We had faith for yesterday. We trust God for faith tomorrow. But the only time we can believe is now. Yes. And it's absolutely a deception of the enemy to put off believing God till you feel better. You're to feel better when you're to believe God when you feel your worst. Because acting on the word actually releases the power of Jesus into your life, because there's a reward. So Jesus is right here, right now, this morning. God himself is here. And anyone who comes to him here and now, with faith in who he is and what he can do, you will be rewarded. Okay, so this is a key for the presence and the power of Jesus today. Faith is the key that unlocks the power of God into your life. Not just knowledge. Let's look at Mark 5, back to Mark. You're going to get this in the end. You're going to receive something today that's going to really help you to live in the presence and power of Jesus. Mark chapter 5. Before we read it, I'm going to say something. Jesus always rewarded faith. So we read God rewards faith in Hebrews, but Jesus always, without fail, rewarded faith. Always. The cry of a desperate person with faith got a miracle. The cry for help offered in faith got a miracle. And so if we see that Jesus always rewarded faith, let's see how he rewarded the faith of one woman. In verse 24, Jesus is going with Jairus, because Jairus has faith that Jesus will come and lay hands on his daughter and she will live. And, you know, Jairus is being rewarded because Jesus is doing what he believes Jesus will do. He's going with Jairus to heal. And we know at the end of the story, the little girl got raised from the dead. That's a reward that I, my goodness me, every father in this room can have. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the only time we can believe is today. And so, he's the same Jesus. And in verse 24, Jesus went with Jairus, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. Jesus rewarded her faith. He said, this is God speaking, your faith healed you. Jesus didn't say, I healed you, although he did. But he rewarded the faith that was in the woman and said, what released the power to heal your body was your faith. The woman had exhausted all the avenues for healing. She had come to the end of every option. And I believe and thank God for doctors and medicine, because they are partnering with God in healing. But they can't heal everything. They can't solve every human problem. It may not be healing that you've come to the end of your options with. It might be jobs. It might be a relationship. It might be some emotional thing that you struggle with. Coming to the end of all your options is actually a good time to look to Jesus. And I love the Lord because at every dead end, He has a solution. Just like the Israelites as they stood before the Red Sea, with the enemy behind and nowhere to go. Moses cried out and said, "Stand still and see the deliverance of your Lord, the Lord." And we all love that, to quote that one. But God didn't say that. He said to Moses, "Why are you telling the people to stand still? Move forward." He was looking for faith. He was looking for a movement of people towards trusting Him for an answer. He said, "Move forward, stretch out your hand and divide the waters." That's a big dead end with an amazing miracle. But the miracle would not have happened if the people hadn't moved forward and Moses taken an obedient step on the word of what Jesus had said to do. And that obedience, you know, faith is always linked to obedience to the word. Because Moses just did what God said. I mean, it makes no sense at all that the Red Sea can divide with a stick. It's a stick, guys. But Moses had faith that when he did what God said to do, the waters would part. And this woman had come to the end of her resources. And Jesus is present to help whoever's at the end of their resources. And many people are pushing around him. But this woman had heard about Jesus. And you know, the object of our faith is Jesus alone. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. And so Jesus, she's coming to Jesus because He is the one who is the solution. There were many people around Jesus and they were touching Him, but it wasn't with faith. They knew He was there. And it was a knowledge just based on seeing Him with their natural eyes. But this woman saw beyond the physical form of Jesus. After all, there wasn't a halo or bright shining lights. There wasn't an angel crowd host singing and a cloud. This was just a man who she believed had power to heal. Not just a man, he was the Son of God, but that's what she was seeing. And that's what many people around Jesus were seeing, that He was a healer. But this woman had faith in the one who she'd heard about. And so she comes to Jesus. Any dead end, the first step is to come to Jesus. He is here. Change the way you see. Repent from the way you see what's available to you. If you've got a Red Sea situation, God is here. Change, shrink the problem and magnify Jesus. shrink the dead end and say, Jesus, you are here. And we know he is here because he lives in every believer through the power of his Holy Spirit. It's time to shrink the problem and look at Jesus as the object of our faith, of our worship, and of the one who is able to make a way when it's impossible. When you can see no solutions, Jesus is the one who has the power to make the way for you. You see, many people knew that Jesus was there, but one person accessed. One person accessed his power. And in everyday life, Jesus is there all the time. And you can walk around life knowing he's there without accessing his power. And so we need to change the way we think and see and act on his presence here and now. Knowledge alone won't heal you. Knowledge alone won't make a way for you. Jesus is the way. Thank you, Lord. Acting on his presence and power. You see, we have lived until we got born again, dominated by our senses. We lived by what we felt, by what we were taught, or what our experiences have been. We could say that our parents shaped the way we think and live, and even our kind of Christian experiences can shape us, which is why Jesus wants to break off any mold that doesn't actually agree with his word. He wants to shape your experiences through the presence of his power and his word. Your senses, when you're in a feeling world, all you do is feel and talk about what you feel. But in the believing world in which we live, we now live by acting on the reality of what Jesus has done. And by acting on that reality, we see the power of God transform our lives. Faith is not an easy option. It's not an easy life, guys. It's possible, but it doesn't just happen because somebody laid their hands on you. It doesn't just happen because you sit in a meeting and maybe you can come into every miracle. It's because you are diligent to stretch out and touch Jesus. He rewards those who diligently seek him, who are proactive in laying hold of Jesus and his power. I think one of the most, the biggest problem really in Christianity is when people start off really good and they start off with the reality of Jesus is with me, Jesus can do anything, it's fantastic to be saved, I'm just going to get involved with everything he's doing, and then life gets almost professional. And oh yeah, I've heard this message about Hebrews 11. I've heard that one before. I'll just switch off. Or you're here to assess, was it a good message? I don't think we're here for a good message. We're here for Jesus, his presence and his power. And you know, you can lose the life as a Christian by not living by faith and accessing the power every day with Jesus. Your faith has healed you, Jesus said. We are to nourish and develop our faith. Act on what Jesus has done. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. You might be saying, well, how do I touch Jesus now? Well, not with the physical touch. We touch Jesus with our faith with acting on the truth that he is here and now, and he wants to give every good gift and release it in your life and your experience. See, this woman, just to go back up, you can turn to Acts, but this woman was subject to a negative situation for 12 years. Jesus doesn't want man subject to negative situations. He's come to bring his rule, which is a positive rule. And he actually says, faith is the solution for every situation. Your faith is the solution. It's a cry of the Spirit today, because he wants to do everything that he's spoken of in his word, in your life and experience. But it comes through your faith. It's downloaded through your faith. And people say, well, I find that rather condemning, you know. This faith message is condemning. It's actually the most releasing message there is. Because actually, trusting God is releasing. Put your confidence entirely on Jesus and his word. Act on his word. Act as though it's true. And then you will see it. Believe it before you see it. Thank you, Jesus. In Acts chapter 3, we read of the early disciples, Peter and John, going up to the temple to pray at 3 p.m. And a man was carried there who was lame, crippled from birth. And verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. In verse 4, Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting them to get something from them. But Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up to his feet and began to walk. In verse 16 of the same chapter, everybody was saying, how did this happen? And Peter explains it. Verse 16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this man complete healing or soundness, as you can all see. Now, in the early days of the outpouring of the Spirit, you would think that the new disciples, or really the Spirit-filled disciples, were so kind of experience-orientated. But we see something very simple here. Peter and John are walking together, not on air, on the ground. There's no tongues of fire. It's not Patmos. They're not having a vision of revelations, you know. It's an ordinary thing. They are taking a walk to corporate prayer meeting. That's all they're doing. They're walking to prayer. And this situation happens, and Peter and John are living by faith. How do we know? Because they said, what I have, I give you. They didn't say, what I can see or experience, I give you. They didn't ask the man, do you feel an anointing before I pray? Can I just add a little prayer that they did not pray from Psalm 144 verse 5. They didn't go, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Wait a minute, I'm going to say that again. They didn't pray, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down to us. Jesus has already come. He has already made a way. Heavens are not brass anymore. He has opened a way to the Father, and his presence is here and now. And so it's an unbiblical prayer for a New Testament believer. We're to pray for an outpouring of the Spirit on those who don't believe. But for us, we are to live filled knowing what we have. Not looking for tongues of fire and experiences. But saying, what I have, I give you. If you knew and I knew what we had, we would turn the world upside down. If we really believed God lives in us. His presence is here and now. And if we acted on that truth, what I have, I give you. I've got the healer. Therefore, in the name, he said, authority, all authority has been given to Jesus, and he has delegated it to you. And he said, right, you, in my name, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, preach the good news of the kingdom. He's not going to do it. You are. But he's going to do it through you. And so these early disciples, they weren't walking in their feelings or experiences. They were walking by faith. Your feelings are an unreliable measure of the power you have. Your feelings might tell you you have 5% power today. Your feelings might tell you you might have 50. On a very good day, you might think 80%. But the truth is, we have the Holy Spirit, who is 100% almighty, because he is God. And so your feelings don't tell you what you have. The truth tells you what you have. And the truth is, you have 100%, because you actually have the person of the Holy Spirit in you. But this power can be dormant or active. We all have the Holy Spirit. But is he dormant or active? And what enables the activity or power of God is the same as that woman as she touched Jesus. It was her faith. In this situation, it was Peter's and John's faith. It was faith that activated the power. They believed in the name of Jesus. They believed the name of Jesus was more powerful than any demon. They believed that they were representing Jesus here and now. They believed, and this is what God wants you and I to believe. We believe we are representing him here and now. In everyday life, he is here and now. He is not over there. We don't have to pray for him to come down. He has come. And now it's our faith, our activity on what and who we have that releases his power. See, you will have a miserable prayer life if you believe that you're talking to somebody who's not there. But if you believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, when you pray, you say, Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you that you're here. Thank you, Jesus, that you live in me through your Spirit. And thank you, Lord, that I ask anything in your name, you will do it. And your name's powerful. If I feel an oppression in my office, if I feel the enemy's activity is around, the name of Jesus is more powerful than any work of the enemy. All authority has been given to us in his name. So in the name of Jesus, we clear the spiritual atmosphere in our office, in our home. We rule over every demonic power through faith in the name of Jesus. It's not just theory. See, I just see it. We can all of us kind of, we can come together and all gather around Jesus and then go home and then come back and gather around Jesus. But we want the release of his power, not just his presence. We want to see the power of God released for this generation. We want to see healings in the workplace. We want to see people you meet on the street experience the power of God. What I have, I give you in the name of Jesus. I've got God. In fact, I've got more than you need. I'm not here to socially look after you. I'm here to bring the power of God into your life. How exciting is that? That you are a carrier of God himself and that you in his name can see these miracles. The Acts of the Apostles are called Acts because they acted. This woman got into the word because she acted. There's a story about her healing because she acted on what she believed before she was healed. And we need to release the power of the name of Jesus and not look for an experience and not look for a sign. We're to see the power of Jesus transform people's lives. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he hadn't yet. And so the faith in him was so strong, he picked him up. Can you imagine? In the name of Jesus, get up. Oh, they didn't get up. Oh, Peter, we better go back to the drawing board. No, in the name of Jesus, get up. Boom. Now that's faith. That's faith. The acts doesn't just speak. It's a speak and an act. It's a declaration and acting as though. If you have bound the enemy in your workplace, act as though he's not there, guys. Believe the truth. Now, oh, I feel a bit heavy again. Well, you're not here. That's only a feeling, and I'm not listening to feelings. I act on the truth. Jesus says I've got all authority, so I bind every power of the enemy. See, it's this activity of faith. They didn't pray, come, Lord, and do something. They acted on his presence and power. His name heals. Through faith in his name, his presence is here today. And God wants soundness in every body here. Physical well-being, mental well-being, emotional well-being, spiritual well-being. He is here with the power to do it. Jesus is here now, not tomorrow, not even because there's a prayer line, but because he's here with the power to change and set captives free, heal the brokenhearted. And if you want to receive soundness today in any area, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, I'd like you to stand. In the presence of God, we're in his presence, just stand, show a sign that you, by faith, want to receive. Thank you, Jesus. Emotional. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.